For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All of our camp coverage today presented by Paul Henry's Windows. Speaking of that camp coverage, let's talk about preseason game number two. Our buddy Ben Standing of The Athletic was in Miami to watch the Commanders practice with the Dolphins. He is coming back this way to D.C. He will not be in the preseason game tomorrow. But a lot of insight, I think, can be provided on where this team is headed toward cutdown day with Ben now. Ben, thanks for the time on G&D. How you been?
Grant, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You got
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
So why don't we start with Jahan Dotson? Greg Rosenthal is not out there like you are. He's not around the team. I understand that. But he works at NFL Media, and he just tweeted a little bit ago, "The more Commanders coaches talk about Jahan Dotson, the more I think he may not be on Washington's week one roster." What's your reaction to that?
Well, I guess my first reaction, just to be a snarky reporter, is that when people from the outside who aren't here say things like that, what they really mean is what the reaction from the local reporters are saying about the coaching situation is what he's reacting to, would be my view, right? But that said, I've been talking about this all week. I think when you start to do the math, you start listening to what Dan Quinn's been saying, that there's, you know, that Jahan played, you know, 32 snaps in that game last week, and that he, when I asked about that a couple days later, he didn't say, "Hey, we love Jahan. We just wanted to get him some extra work." Nope. He just said, we're still looking at guys. And then when the question was sort of repeated yesterday, he's like, "Yeah, we're kind of in the middle of a competition." And I think it's getting pretty telling about based on what they are saying. When we've had similar conversations about where are things going with Cayman Davis or Emmanuel Forbes, the other recent first-round picks, regardless of what we on the outside might think, they are saying positive. They're working hard. They're doing what they need to do. We'll see what happens. That wasn't the case here. This was like a competition. It didn't say anything specifically about Dotson. So if Jahan is not one of the top three receivers on this team, you know, in terms of what their plan would be, I don't know how he's going to stick around, because he's not a special teams guy. He's obviously too small to really help in coverage or anything like, or, you know, in tackling or anything like that, blocking. And then, you know, is he the returner? I don't know, but even if he were to be, I would think, like, his trade value as a guy on a rookie contract with 2 years left would be more appealing than that. So I think it's getting pretty interesting. If he doesn't get things going as far as what the coaches want to see, I don't think it's inconceivable that they move on from him. I don't think they would cut him or anything, but I think it's at least a possibility, which, by the way, lines up with the whole idea of that they've said from the start, there's competition. And it doesn't seem like there's any, you know, the people who were here before are not being viewed as sacred cows. They weren't the guys that Peters and Quinn drafted, signed, et cetera. And therefore, I think anything is conceivable.
We're going to talk about this later, Ben. But among the receivers, I think we'd all agree, assuming health, Terry McLaurin gets the most targets in that receiver room, rightly so. Who's the second most targeted wideout? Last year, I think it was Dotson, was a couple targets ahead of Logan Thomas, for example, behind Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel's gone, so is Logan Thomas. Among the receivers, not tight ends or running backs, what wideout gets the second most targets?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the question that we're sort of asking here, right? And I was discussing with some people earlier today, like, what is the notion of this wide receiver two competition? What do we mean by that? You know, you could look at a production and just say who's the second most productive receiver, but I would argue it's more like who is the receiver that is getting the most work, right? Last year, Jahan Dotson played over 900 snaps. Curtis Samuel played less than 600. Curtis Samuel was the better receiver last year, but that's not how they were being. That's not what their roles were. I think the thing that's weird here is, like, look, I think Zacchaeus is, but I think he looked pretty sharp in camp myself. But he's 5'8". He's not. You can't run everything you would want with a guy like that. And I don't know that, like, he's going to be a full time two. Let's just say if he were to beat out Dotson. But then you have Deombi Brown, who obviously it's been 3 years of underwhelming performance. He's got that blazing speed, but it's kind of a one-trick pony. So there's like a combination between those two, should they be ahead of Dotson, that I don't know, honestly, in all fairness, like who I would guess would be the most targeted. But it's sort of, if Dotson isn't going to be the guy, then it does sort of put like, they may have some hard workers at that position, but there's not an obvious guy. I would maybe guess Zacchaeus, just because he has looked the sharpest and he's had a couple seasons of 30 and 40 catches. But I think it's a great question. I mean, honestly, I think Austin Eckler probably becomes the guy I would peg for number two. I know you said receivers, but and maybe then Zach Ertz over whoever will be left at receiver.
Agreed.
Ben Standing of The Athletic talking Jahan Dotson with us here on Grant and Danny. Maybe it's too strong to say, do they have an issue with Jahan Dotson? But I think you'll understand what I'm trying to get at when I ask this. Is the issue with him currently, with his staff, just like football stuff? Or is there more to it than that? It just seems to me like it's very quick to sour on a guy to the extent that maybe they have. If we're talking about Alameda Zacchaeus and, I don't know, Byron Pringle, like pushing him.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, I don't know what goes on. I don't know what's been going on inside the building. I don't have any sense that Jahan is being, you know, a malcontent or anything along those lines, but something does feel off. And I think, you know, we all typically look at this as like, who are the best 53 players that can get out there and get this job done? I used this analogy earlier. I was, for no unexplained reason, on the flight down here, I was rewatching the movie Miracle for the 86th time. And
USA wins in the end, by the way. Spoiler.
Damn it.
Yep.
Danny's been known to spoil shows for guests, just so you know.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Well, at least that's when I had a sense of what happened. The part where they're picking the roster for, you know, the 26 guys are going to try out and whittle it down. They're like, wait, what do you mean, Herb Brooks? How have you already figured this out? You left off some of the best players off this shorter roster. And he's like, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players. And my point here would be, part of what I think this is all about for this team has been the makeup of this roster is it isn't about getting the quote-unquote best players right this minute. It's getting the players who are going to help set the tone going forward for what they want this team to be. That's why you bring in specific vets like a Bobby Wagner. That's why they targeted a bunch of team captains among their draft picks. So, you know, if they're looking for a certain type of mentality, then maybe if Jahan is not that guy for them, then that may be a good reason why they would move on as much as anything else. I mean, we know he's not the most physical of receivers already, just based on his size, but, you know, it's not like Mike Sanders still is an imposing tower out there at corner, but he's known for his physicality. And, you know, I think Zacchaeus seems to be giving a little bit more of that edge as well, even though he's, you know, 5'8" and so on. So, I don't think it's like a poor, you know, there's some like locker room disconnect, but he just may not be connecting with them in terms of how they want to shape this franchise going forward. So if he doesn't get going, in a way that they find acceptable, then yeah, I could see this thing ending.
Ben Standing with us here on G&D. Last one, what would a trade look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, like on the one hand, you'd be like, well, look, I mean, what he hasn't done enough, but he's got 2 years left in his rookie deal. He's still a really good route runner, right? And maybe on another team in another situation that isn't looking to establish a culture and identity because they already have one from being around for a bit, that maybe there's another team that would be willing to give up, you know, a middle round pick or something. Again, it's not like he's without talent or anything. I just, at the moment, it seems like maybe it's a poor fit for what these guys want. Again, that's assuming that this is the case. You know, Dan Quinn knows what he is saying. He is now twice this week when given the chance to, you know, praise Jahan, defend Jahan. He has not done that. And I don't get the sense that these guys have been fibbing with us. Like, they may not always tell us everything, but I don't get the sense that they're saying one thing but really don't mean it. They're just trying to, you know, say it. So maybe they're trying to push buttons, but it does feel like something's off. So I don't know. I would think there's a chance you get like a middle round pick because of the fact he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. That's pretty cost affordable. And again, he's not a bad player. He can run routes, but it, for whatever reason, it just may not fit here.
Do we know already, Ben, who isn't going tomorrow? Or do you have a pretty good feel of several guys? I'm sure Brandon Coleman's not playing, who I want to see. We know about two of the quarterbacks being out. Anybody else?
I don't know. I mean, like last week, obviously they sat a bunch of guys, but Quinn said, you know, the John Allens, the Bobby Wagners who didn't play last week, that they would play this week. But it sounds like that might be a series two at max. And I kind of get the feeling that with the offense with Jaden as well, like it's not going to be terribly long. They're factoring in the reps they get in the joint practice with the game reps. So I think we'll see the starters and probably see most of the guys, except for anybody who's banged up, like you said, like a Coleman. But I don't know how – I don't think we're going to see these guys too long out there.
Johnny Newton, is he in?
I don't believe he's in. We haven't seen him – unless I missed it yesterday, I don't believe he was involved then. And Quinn has said, you know, they're trying to, rest him up. They've said there hasn't been a setback from his return from the foot procedure, but at the same point, he has been limited – to say the least, since then. It also sounds like, you know, Martavis Bryant was out there a little bit yesterday, that they're picking their spots with him since he obviously just arrived and they're not trying to do too much, but we may see him, I would imagine, as well tomorrow.
So what does that mean for Newton's early season? I mean, I guess I'm sure they're still saying, oh, he's on track, but when you don't play in the first couple of preseason games, you wouldn't think, maybe they could make a special case and have him play next Sunday against the Patriots, but does that kind of put his... delay the clock a little bit on his rookie year?
It could. I mean, obviously, he's got to get out here at some point. You know, I don't know where he's at with conditioning, but, you know, he basically hasn't done almost anything going back to the spring in the way that we would view conditioning, right? So, yeah, I think that's got to be a consideration. And, again, I think for these guys, I don't think they're too – I mean, look, they're going to do everything they can to put the best product on the field, but at the same time, the urgency in terms of like they have to win is, I think, different for this team in this recalibration, as Dan Quinn would say, versus if they were, you know, a not more obvious playoff Super Bowl contender. So, you know, hopefully this is not a Curtis Samuel situation where we keep getting told that it's nothing to see here. And then all of a sudden guy misses, you know, most of the season. So I'll take them at their word that it's just being cautious and patient. And, you know, he did have two surgeries one on each foot since January. So it's reasonable to think that could take some time, but hopefully it's nothing that big of a deal. And even if the first, you know, couple of weeks he's inactive, that it's just you know, a matter of time before he gets in there.
One other obligatory in-out question looking ahead to next week. Jaden Daniels, Drake May could be fun Sunday night at the Artist, formerly known as FedEx Field. Do we know if they're going to play Jaden in that final preseason game, or will he be on ice by then?
I can't say we know, but if they're going to be limited with him this week, I can't imagine he's playing next week, right? I mean, you know, last week was the one series, in part because they were down their top three tackles. This week they do have Lucas and Wiley back, so that's arguably their week one lineup out there. So if they're going to still play him less, or not going to play him a full amount this week, then that's saying, hey, our plan is we've seen a lot where he's getting good work in these joint practices, and that's enough. So, yes, it would be fun, but at the moment, I would guess that's not going to happen.
All right, and then rapid fire, just a couple roster things. I know it's tough right now, but best guesses. Is the kicker going to be Riley Patterson or not on the roster yet?
I mean, I've been on the not on the roster yet train for a bit. He did have a better day yesterday, I thought, and you know, they said they wanted to have just the one kicker to help him get into a rhythm. Perhaps that happens. I mean, he is at least – well, he has experience. He's played in the league the last couple of years, so possibly, but I guess we'll see who gets cut. And you know, with some of these teams having two kickers in camp, I think it's probably still reasonable to think the week one kicker isn't here. But hey, if Patterson, you know, is looking sharper in this game and over the coming practices, maybe he does you know, stay.
Third running back, Chris Rodriguez, Jeremy McNichols, or Michael Wiley?
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if it was me, it would be Wiley, because I just think, you know, Rodriguez has just seemed like he's kind of, my interpretation is he's kind of fallen out of favor a bit. I've been surprised he has not been involved in the kick return situation, since it felt like, you know, that made sort of for an obvious fit based on the new rules. McNichols, you know, I think other people around the beat seem to think he's got the inside track as the third guy, and I did put him on my 53, but honestly, I don't quite get it. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, he hasn't had a touch in a couple of years. You know, he's a guy like him is available all the time, right? They had Derek Gore last year, similar guy on the practice squad. That said, if there's a world where they're like, hey, for our running backs, we want experienced guys there to help with blocking. Should they have to be in there with Jaden Daniels? We don't want green, a kid that's as green like a Wiley, perhaps, because we don't want to risk that. Okay, then maybe there's something there. So I would say Wiley based on what the options you gave, but I'm guessing they may be leaning towards McNichols.
And then assuming they keep the five, like, clear-cut top five receivers, McLaurin, Dotson, Zaccheaus, McCaffrey, the third-round pick, and De'Ami Brown, maybe there's spot for one more wideout. Crowder, Bryson Tremaine, Mitchell Tinsley, Kaz Allen, Byron Pringle, Martavis Bryant, whoever else. Who's the last receiver in if they keep six?
Yeah, so you look, I mean, Bryson Tremaine's had a really good camp. He gives them size, but he's not the fastest guy. And then I think the Martavis Bryant signing says to me that maybe they don't know if Tremaine is that guy, because we are still talking about another tall receiver. Bryant's obviously a superior athlete even at the older age and all that, but I'm a little more worried about Tremaine following that signing. I think Tinsley's probably been an under-discussed player. You know, he made the team last year. They then chose to not really use him at all, but he made the team. He's had some really good moments in camp as well, and I think he's got a shot. I think what it probably comes down to is, do they feel that the last receiver has got to go to whoever the person will be that's going to be on kicks, whether that's Pringle or Kaz Allen, something like that? Does it go to somebody with size, or do they decide, hey, we're just going to only go with the five, have a couple other guys on practice squad, and figure out the rest? So I don't think I've gave you a direct answer, because I think honestly I'm a little more confused following the Bryant signing. So I had Tremaine, but I'm a little less enthused about his prospects right now after that Bryant signing.
Let's go to the secondary real quick. Tyler Owens, I thought, flashed a couple times. We've heard some good buzz about Dominic Hampton and company. Maybe that safety / kind of hybrid spots. How does that shake out, and what are we seeing tomorrow?
Yeah, I've had like six guys sort of feeling pretty confident, had them locked in, and now Tyler Owens has shown up. And every time we see him at practice, in games, he seems to step up. Dan Quinn highlighted his special teams work last week. I saw a play yesterday where he was like the first guy down the field as well. So I don't want to say the undrafted free agent off of one preseason game is like a lock to make the team, but I think it's feeling better and better that he does, in which case it comes down to, do you want to keep seven safeties? And like you said, maybe a couple guys like Hampton can help you out in other ways. Or is this where, similar to Dotson, they're like, hey, I know this guy's been on the team before and played some, but maybe it's just, you know, we're moving in a different direction. We want to go with the younger guys, not somebody who's got 1 year left in their contract, like a Derek Forrest or something like that. So I think safety is a really interesting spot. I asked Dan Quinn yesterday about this. He said that was a group that he's really liked this summer. So if they're just keeping the best 53, maybe they all stay. But if they're only going to keep six safeties, then yeah, there could be a surprising name that goes there.
I feel like seven safeties would be unprecedented, right? I mean, I've never heard of anything like that. That's pretty weird, no?
Well, yeah. I mean, plus, like, I in my head, I've got them keeping six corners. So even 12 defensive backs is a lot. Again, in this modern era of football where obviously you're going against teams that are passing all the time and guys can play multiple spots, it makes sense. I think the way I'm looking at this for them is, it isn't about the more conventional, who do we need to keep to do certain things. It's more of, who are the best players we have, and we'll figure out the rest. They have talked so much about that they're not using the PF phrase that drove us all crazy, but they're talking about versatility. What can guys do? And I think that's in part because they may find themselves in this position of keeping more at a certain position that you would think conventionally they would. But what else can they do with these players if that happens?
PF flyers, I believe, was the phrase, Benny the Jet Rodriguez style. That or position sure. flex, one or the other. Ben, one thank those, you, yeah. buddy. We appreciate you as always. Safe travels back here to D.C., and we will catch up with you soon.
See you, bro.
Awesome, man. Thanks, guys.
Ben Standing of The Athletic, who's been in Miami at the joint practices preseason game tomorrow night. Commanders, Dolphins.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.